I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Underwear, armpit hair, many imitators, but no one compares.
Badass Women's Hour XL with Harriet Minter, Natalie Campbell and Emma Sexton on Talk Radio.
One, two, three, four!
Welcome to the Badass Women's Hour podcast with me, Emma Sexton, and also Natalie Campbell. Now, usually Harriet Minter does the really hard job of hosting the show, making sure it all runs to time. But this week I had to do it. It was a bit of an emergency stand-in after H had a fall. But she's doing okay. But hosting the show is hard, so forgive me if it's a bit wonky. Anyway, in this episode, you're going to hear from the amazing Hannah Wootton. Now, she's got a new book out called The Hormone Diaries. We talked about our theory on why we get PMS, and also she talked really openly and honestly about what life was like living with a stoma bag.
Badass Women's Hour XL on Talk Radio.
She'll get you talking.
Welcome back to the Badass Women's Hour XL. So our next guest has been a guest on the show before a long time ago, and we love having this guest on the show because she likes talking about our favourite topics. Last time she's talking about sex, and this time she's talking about periods. Welcome to the show, Hannah Wootton.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing good, thanks.
So you have a new book out.
Yeah.
Tell us all about it.
It's called The Hormone Diaries, The Bloody Truth About Our Periods, and just contains everything from all you need to know about periods and then contraception, and then also digging into some of like the lesser spoken topics such as when things might not be going as well, like things like endometriosis and PCOS, also the trans experience of hormones, all sorts. Mum wrote a bit about menopause in there.
Did she? Interesting, because there is lots about hormones and there's lots about the female body that I just don't think has ever been mainstream. What made you want to write the book?
So it originally started as a series on my YouTube channel, so back in, I want to say 2016, let's just go with it, 2016, I came off the pill, and I'd been on the pill for 7 years, and I think a lot of people were kind of feeling this, there was just like this kind of cultural shift, I think, of like, what is this pill that I've been putting in my body all of these years, and actually, what are my body's normal functions? And so I thought, I'm going to come off the pill, document this process of because also during that time I had no periods, so I was like, will I ever have periods again? I came off the pill and made a video about it and documented my process of learning about different kinds of contraception, the return of my period, trying out new products. When I was having periods as a teenager, didn't know about menstrual cups, was a whole journey.
I remember your video when you first tried the menstrual cup, which was hilarious. It actually put me off trying one.
Oh, yeah. That's the opposite effect.
I'm still open to it, but yeah. I just need a little bit more. Like,
I would time. After obviously that video was like me using it for the first time, yeah, which it can be a bit of an experience. But having used it a lot more, I'm like, oh, big fan. Yeah.
Would you ever go back on the pill though? Now you're off it, and now you've done this research.
So what happened was, turns out my boobs ache loads before I have a period. So the pill had clearly been subduing those PMS symptoms, and my periods were really irregular and my boobs would ache. They would just get swollen, heavy, so painful for 2 weeks.
And you just clarify for some of our listeners who might not know what PMS is.
So PMS is premenstrual syndrome, and it's basically a whole wide range of symptoms that can occur in the weeks before and also during your period. So boobs hurting is one, abdominal pain, back pain.
Zero tolerance for anybody.
Yeah, so like mood related PMS stuff as well. And for some people it can be quite mild. For other people it can be really, really severe. And obviously the symptoms vary from person to person. For me, it was the boobs, and in the end I could not handle it. And so I actually ended up getting the coil. Mm-hmm. The hormonal coil, hoping that because it was a similar hormone in it to the pill that I was on, it would have the same effect, and it has. So very, very glad I do not have to deal with that anymore. Yeah.
And what else did you learn when putting the book together? Was there anything, because you know, you obviously cover a lot in this area, you do your YouTube videos. What was there anything that kind of surprised you when you put the book together?
Yeah, so because with the series it was all about my experience, and then with the book it was like, okay, I'm going to consolidate like everything that I've learned and other people's experiences as well. I did a lot of research into like what is out there in terms of male contraception as well, and then also just really trying to figure out why PMS like exists. But no, still a mystery apparently. Really? It's
just to do with hormones though, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, so it's a change in your body's hormones, but it's like why is that then making us suffer? Like what is the point? Like
what's the point of the suffering?
What is the point of the suffering?
Yeah, no, that's true.
Because our bodies are really smart and really clever, and most of the time when our bodies are functioning properly, they're actually helping us out.
Yeah. I feel like it's almost a mourning the body goes through. I feel like the beginning of your cycle, it's like, oh yeah, okay, right, we're ready to make the babies, and then when that doesn't happen, it's like, oh.
Well, so that is my theory. It's like there's no research. I'm like, come on. Scientists, please do this research. But my hypothesis is that it is your body throwing a temper tantrum because it's not gotten pregnant.
I'm with you. It's like all that hard work. I made you look great. I made your skin look amazing.
I made you look so fertile, and you just wasted it.
You felt amazing. Your wardrobe looked great, and now what?
It's all for nothing. which is fair enough. And I'm actually pleased that we're having a conversation about hormones, because even when you came on the show, this wasn't a mainstream conversation. I think we were just getting into talking about periods. We were not talking about menopause. We were definitely not we were probably talking about vaginas.
Vulvas.
Yeah, probably. But having a book on the shelves that women and girls can pick up and start to educate themselves and have language.
And that has period blood on the cover.
Does it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it does.
Yeah. Brave. Some white underwear with some red stain.
Yeah. And so how do you think this is going to go down in bookshops? Because we've heard stories about Instagram not allowing certain visuals. Mm. You know, will this be pride of place in a good retailer? So, you know, Foyles and Waterstones and WH Smith, will they be putting this out proudly?
I've definitely seen it in Waterstones. Mm-hmm. And I think that it often what books get kind of like pride of place and stuff, it comes down to the booksellers, and I think booksellers are amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, but they're kind of on it sometimes. I find my book in like the wrong age sections. I'm like, oh no, it's not quite for 8-year-olds. Let me put this in this section. I think I've been really lucky with the people that I've worked with on the book, so that it is getting out there and people are seeing it. But yeah, it is weird. With my first book actually doing it, someone recently brought my attention to a thread on Reddit, because someone had posted a picture of this American woman's Facebook post of my book in an American bookshop, and her ranting about how inappropriate it is. And I was like, yes, I've made it. Yeah, someone has complained.
I made someone angry.
Yeah, I was like, yes.
out of all the topics that you talk about, and I think you really have been amazing. I remember the first time you were on the show and just the way you talked about things, but also how informative you were about anything that you put in your videos. What are the topics that you get the most reaction with? Because your target audience is what age group?
Like 18 to 30.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then what are the videos that have done like the most... views or get the most kind of reaction, good or bad?
So recently, a lot of the stuff around boobs and bras seems to be getting a lot of reaction because I've got quite large boobs, and I think that there's a lot of struggles that come with that aren't often talked about, because sometimes they can be like hypersexualized, and also like hypersexualized in one way, but then also like admired as well, or like strived for. And so I kind of like to be like, hey, it's not great all of the time, by the way. And I doing like giving advice for people who have big boobs in terms of like getting bras fitted, and I don't know, just making it as comfortable as possible, really. I did a video recently that was like not wearing a bra for a week, mm-hmm. and kind of like seeing how that was. And yeah, that went down really well with my audience, and then some creeps on the internet found it.
Oh really? Okay. Yeah. Well, what was that like, not wearing a bra for a week? If you're
lots of boob sweat, to be honest, because I did it during a really hot week, stupidly. But to be honest, it's definitely made me, I think, wear bras less, actually. And also, I always thought that someone with big boobs not wearing a bra was like just not an option for me in clothes and things, because there was just like nothing that would like look good or make my boobs look good or whatever. But I feel a bit more like relaxed about that now.
Yeah, I read somewhere that we shouldn't even be wearing bras, that our boobs are just designed to just hang the way they are.
You said this before. And you have, and it's a conscious thing. So I like to not wear a bra, and I'm not massively in doubt at all. But there is a thing where you can tell if a woman is wearing a bra or not.
Yeah.
And it's something that we put on, well, ourselves, but also on society, in that when you wear a bra, your boobs are structured. And so therefore they sit in a certain way. And when you're not wearing a bra, I don't care how great, you know, great upright they are, you can just tell that someone's not wearing one. And for me, that's the consciousness for about 30 minutes maybe, that people can see that I'm not wearing a bra,
and then you forget about it.
Wow. And then I forget about it. But it's that thing of, what do people think about the fact that I'm not wearing a bra? It's a really weird I guess way of thinking, because it's a piece of clothing that they can't see anyway.
Yeah. And also, I think whenever we get into our heads about how other people are perceiving us, I always try and fall back to, they don't care. They're more busy thinking about what people think of them.
Yeah. Really,
and the only person during that week that I did it, the only person who noticed and said anything to me was my mum.
Really?
Yeah, because yeah,
of course.
Mum. Yeah, classic mum.
Yeah.
She was like, are you not wearing a bra, dear?
Mums are so good at that.
Yeah.
We want to keep talking to you, Hannah, after the break.
The Fempire Strikes Back. Badass Women's Hour XL on Talk Radio.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Listening to Badass Women's Hour XL on Talk Radio, the home of Julie Hartley Brewer on breakfast, Matthew Wright at lunch, and Eamon Holmes on drive, with your hosts tonight, Emma Sexton and Natalie Campbell, until 10 p.m. And in the studio with us, we have got YouTube sensation Hannah Witten in. Hello, Hannah.
Hello.
So before the break, we were talking to you about your new book, Hormone Diaries. But also, last time you were on the show, after the show, you went through quite a dramatic, life-changing event. Can you tell us a bit about what happened?
So I have ulcerative colitis, which is a form of inflammatory bowel disease, and I've had that since I was 7. And basically, in December, January 2017, 2018, was it that year? Well, what year was it? I had a really bad flare-up. It was like the first one I'd had in 10 years. And was in hospital for a month, and I had to have emergency surgery to remove my colon, and I now have a stoma bag. And then I had some more complications, and 5 months after that I had to have another surgery. So 2018 was not great for me. Bit life-changing. I feel like, because I've talked about it so much, I'm just like, and then this happened, and then this happened, and like,
You processed it now, though? The fact that you're talking about it a lot, but really, do you feel like you've processed that? Because that's a big thing, right?
Mm. Yeah. I do feel like I have. Obviously, occasionally have like down days still, and it's a bit of a weird one. Like, most of the time, I forget I have a stoma, and then I'm like, go to the bathroom. I'm like, oh yeah. But my partner and my family and friends have been amazing. And then talking about it online has actually really helped as well. Like, one of the first things I did after surgery, and I was like not feeling ill anymore, was like grab my phone and like try and find other young women with stomas who were talking about it online and just like living their best lives. And I found some like women my age with stoma bags, and that was so helpful for me to like read and watch what they were doing and saying and connect with them. Yeah.
So I was going to ask, we teed up some lovely tunes to see you in, and one of the things that I remember in you going into the process and coming out, you chronicled it, you shared videos, and there was one I remember you looked unwell, and I was like, oh my goodness. How do you make a decision to say, I'm going to share this, and I'm well enough to share this, versus taking a step back? And I think you did a bit of both. There were some points where you were like, actually, I've been off for a while, and now I'm back. And there were some where you were like, I feel awful. But you still, you shared a story which, like you said, probably, you know, helps a lot of people.
Yeah, so when I was ill and I was in hospital, like, I was so ill, I described that time of like just being a shell of a person. So I did not want to go on my phone. I could barely even talk to my partner and my parents, who were like there most days with me in the hospital. So during that time, obviously did nothing, but didn't care. Like, did not care about doing nothing because I was ill, and just that getting better was like the only thing that was occupying my brain, if there could have been anything occupying my brain then. But then, like, literally the moment after surgery, like, I woke up in lots of pain and like still all like drowsy and like off my face from the anesthetic and all of the drugs and stuff.
Did you know you were going to have the stoma bag before the operation, or was it that the operation they couldn't save your bowel and that was the only option?
I knew going into the surgery that that was what was happening. But it was like, a meds aren't working, we need to get you into surgery now. And I was like, okay, let's do this. But the moment I like waking up from that, I was like, oh my god, I can have conversations again. Oh my god, my brain is back. Like, this is incredible. Like,
because I suppose your intestines, you know, if they're not functioning properly, then your whole body just doesn't function properly.
It completely ruined everything, like all of my bodily functions. My brain was not working, and having the diseased part of me gone, it was like I got my life back. And Yeah, and so I immediately was like, oh my God, I actually want to use my phone. I like want to be posting and like just and really enjoyed that like just connecting and like feeling like a part of the world again. Mm-hmm. And then after the surgery, I was in hospital for another week and a half, just like recovering and adjusting and everything. And then I think the first like YouTube video that I made was maybe like after being home for a week or two, but that might have been the one that you've seen because I look very thin in it.
Yeah, there was no rosiness in your cheeks, I must say.
But I was very honest in that video, and it was something that I wanted to do. I remember before my partner left for work that morning, I asked him to take down my camera and tripod and equipment downstairs because I was too weak to like carry it. Aww. So he like got all my equipment like set up for me. I was like, cool, thanks. And then just like sit on the sofa. And that was like the most I could do like energy wise. And also at the time, I also like I don't edit my own videos as well. Like I got I have editors that help me with that, so it didn't feel like I was straining myself all that much. I just had to like sit and talk about what happened and then send it off for someone to do the work.
But it's an ongoing, I guess it's an ongoing thing because you chronicled that, which helps so many people. You're now talking about hormones based on the fact it affected you. Do you is there anything that you wouldn't share?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't share like the ins and outs of my relationship. My partner isn't a social media person. Like they don't have any accounts, which is great. So sometimes I'll post pictures of us, but I don't tag him because he doesn't have an account to tag. So I'm like, great. Usually I know where the line is as I'm approaching it. Like I don't have like a fixed line or like fixed categories of yes, I'll share this and no, I won't share this. It kind of depends like what's the context and how much am I sharing and how am I framing this? Who's asking? And usually like as I start sharing some bits as I feel the line like as I'm approaching it. I'm just like, maybe not that bit.
And did you recently do a photo shoot with your stoma bag?
So that last year I did a couple photo shoots like in my underwear with the stoma bag, and that was very much like for me. Like two of the photos, the ones from the Linda Blacker photo shoot, I have posters of them framed in my bedroom.
Do you? Like,
I see it every day. Like they're right by where my chest of drawers is and like where I get ready in the morning. And so it's that for me, I don't know, is really I don't know, like everyone should have like underwear photos of them in their bedrooms, I think. Makes me feel great every
morning. Professional
shot. Like really beautiful professional pictures.
Like, yeah, look at me.
Yeah.
And will you always have the stoma bag then in terms of like this is your life now in terms of
So technically the kind of stoma and the kind of surgery I had means that it is reversible, which means I could get a J pouch somewhere down the line. However, there's a lot of complications and risks that also come along with that, and I'm kind of earing towards the side of having further surgery that would make my stoma permanent. The general advice that I've had from doctors and then also other people who have stomas or a J pouch is kind of like, if you getting a J pouch is for people who can't live with a stoma, like for some people it's just they hate it, they can't manage it, they just really struggle with it for whatever reason. And I kind of feel like I've got my stoma is, her name's Mona, she's very very well behaved. I feel like we've got the routine down, and I kind of like, if it ain't broke don't fix it, because also just there's added complications and it's a weird one though. I definitely like getting my head around having it permanent is, I don't know, something to process, because I'm always like, having a stoma tomorrow, fine. Having a stoma forever feels different. But that's, having that surgery is like a bit off in the future.
And I'm guessing they're doing a lot of research in terms of new forms of being able to recreate colon and various things. So is it also just a waiting game?
A little bit. There is a bit of a deadline on it, though, because the reason why I can have a reversal to make a J pouch is because I still have my rectum.
Okay.
But my rectum currently has inflammation, which is a bit tricky. So sometimes it was like, let's remove it. And also, the longer you leave just like your rectal stump in there on its own, again, not a doctor, this is just what I've been told, chances of rectal cancer increase.
Oh, right.
So there is kind of like a window of when my doctors will be like, okay, like,
you decide now,
are we thinking about getting this done now? But then the other thing is that the whatever surgery I decide to have, either the removal or creation of a J pouch, my doctors have also informed me that after that surgery, my fertility will dramatically decrease.
Right. Okay.
So there's just a lot of things at play of like, okay, so before it, so chance of rectal cancer, but so to stop that from happening, need to have rectum removed.
Yeah.
But before that, probably need to think about having children. So it's just like,
it's a lot
of things.
Yeah, it's a lot.
And on a daily basis, you are well.
Yes.
Yeah.
I am well. I love it.
Which is very different to when you had chronic flare-ups, I'm guessing.
Yeah, so because I had like 10 years of remission before the last flare-up, my flare-ups were like every 2 years, like between the age of like 7 and 15, I would have...
Wow, that's a lot from a young age to have to deal with that. You've, you know, dealt with that colitis for a long time.
Mm. I don't really remember life without it.
Right. I'm just wondering if there's another book coming that just talks about, because I think there are lots of people that do live with periods of being chronically unwell.
Yep.
And even from some of the things that you're talking about in the book, whether it's endometriosis or other, but they live with it and they adapt their lives. But yeah, I don't see those books on the shelf. You kind of just have to figure it out from scratch. And there's an element of having to do that anyway, because everyone is an individual.
Yeah.
But people talking about it and saying, I'm living and I'm living well, and actually where I am now is so much better than when I was living in a place of chronic pain.
Yeah.
Like that feels like it's missing. You've probably already got a couple of books already in your pipeline.
It's an interesting one, because my condition like affects everyone who has it so differently.
Mm.
So some people, it is... like a daily or weekly or monthly thing that they have to manage symptoms for. Whereas for me, it was always like perfectly healthy, absolutely fine. Oh my God, horrendously ill for a couple months.
Right.
Medication kicks in. Right, I'm fine again. And that would happen like every 2 years. Mm. But in between those times, I was like 100% well, other than being on medication. But when it... So a lot of people will have the symptoms but still be able to go about their day-to-day life and just making some adjustments. Whereas when I got ill, I was like, I was out.
Yeah.
Like, hospitalised, like, can't do anything, done.
Okay. What do you think? What are the next things you're going to talk to us about, do you think, in the future? We've got sex, periods, stoma bags. What next for you, Hannah?
I don't know. I mean, there's so much. And I think also... A lot of what I talk about, it does come from like where I'm at in my life, and not making any plans right now. But obviously, as I've said, thinking about having children, like because of my situation, is something that I have to like be considering right now. So maybe the Hormone Diaries series 2.
Yeah, it's a big conversation.
Yeah.
Thank you so much
for coming
on the show. When is the book out?
The book is out now.
Is it? Great.
Yeah.
Okay, all good bookshops and online.
Yes, indeed.
And then if our listeners want to find you or stalk you on the internet, where can I find you?
At Hannah Witten is the place to be.
Oh, all your social handles match?
Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, but don't bother. But they're the important ones, yeah.
Lovely. Thank you so much, Hannah.
Thank you. 1, 2, 3, 4!
This has been the Badass Women's Hour podcast with me, Harriet Minter, Natalie Campbell, and Emma Sexton. If you want to hear more from us, you can come follow us on social media at Badass Women's Hour, HR, or leave us a review and tell us how much you love us. We really need to feel the love. 5 stars should do it.
when it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.